Thank you for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's been an action-packed year on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or Pandora. And don't miss anything over at AmericaOutLoud.com, which is just loaded with articles and countless hours of podcast. Looking forward to the show tonight. We've got another congressional candidate who is not a lifelong D.C. swamper, and we can get in some new blood in D.C., hopefully in 2022 and beyond. We've got on congressional candidate from the state of Georgia, Mike Collins, will be joining us tonight. We are looking forward to talking to Mike and hearing about what his plans are in the state of Georgia and his run for Congress and getting some background information on him. Something that has recently caught my eye is happening in your state, Rob, New York State. We are seeing Andrew Cuomo come under getting harsh blowback for his sexual harassment allegations. It has now been deemed that he was guilty of his allegations. It's not looking good for Cuomo, so we will see what happens there. Even Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are calling for this guy to resign. And then you've got Mayor Bill de Blasio, Mayor Bozo, is mandating vaccines for restaurants, gyms, and entertainment events. Yes, you heard that right. Mandating vaccines. I have a feeling New York City is going to be the first domino to fall, and we are going to see this in all the liberal cities very soon. What are your thoughts, Rob?
First of all, thank everyone for joining us tonight. Glad to have you here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Never a disappointing hour when you tune in to our show to listen to what's happening. We are the news, fair and impartial. Some might say that we are biased, but we are commentators. We are also news forecasters, and we tell you what's happening, giving you our spin on things, and in some cases, just speaking to you about the truth. And then going and finding out what the other side has said and putting it out there so that you will know what's actually happening. So again, we're glad to have you here tonight. Now, let's talk about politics as our favorite topic doing during the night on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Now, you mentioned my governor, Cuomo. Cuomo has been riding this whole thing with the sexual harassment for quite some time. My focus is on the 15,000 people that he killed, murdered because of COVID-19. A lot of people don't want to talk about that. It's my understanding that our state attorney general isn't going to investigate it. Now, the feds are still looking at it, the Department of Justice, but we know how they are. They might give it a pass and then he walks. So while the sexual harassment thing is important, and we'll just go into more details about that tonight because it's forever changing. What we talk about now, it could change in the morning. We will talk about it. But I think it's more important that we look at what he did, what he knew, and when he knew it, when he had those patients to be placed back into the nursing homes and killed them. That's basically it. So we will talk about that. We'll also talk about COVID-19 and the new mandates that are coming out. Now, people will say things change. Right, they change. But the CDC seems to be so adamant when they're putting out statements as to what you have to do and what you can do that it makes it seem as if though things don't change. And here's a novel question. Why hasn't the FDA just come out and approved the vaccine? What are they waiting for? Though some people would say, well, they're waiting for the testing. Testing for what? You see that they're pushing for people to take it. Make a statement, say something about it, but they won't. Go figure. Now let's move to the state of Georgia, where Mike Collins is running for the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, there has been a lot of action in Georgia since the election. Governor Kemp, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, I don't know what's going on there. Georgia was considered a solid red state. We know that Atlanta, one of the biggest cities there, is liberal. We know that Stacey Abrams is there. And in my opinion, she's nothing but more than a criminal, setting up all these different, what do you call them? Not charities, but I'll think of it. But anyway, she's creating these little accounts whereby she has money going in to them and then paying herself off. I mean, I've never understood that, but that's what she's doing. That's how she's paying herself. So she's probably a millionaire now, but for some reason, she has a lot of pull in Georgia. She has the governor of Georgia running scared of her for some reason. I don't know why. She's just Stacey Abrams, but we're going to talk about her. And we're just going to talk about the politics in Georgia as a whole. Like I said, it was a solid red state, but now Democrats are trying to turn it purple or blue, and it could happen. Georgia is at play now. How did that happen? And what isn't Governor Brian Kemp doing? All these things are at play, and this is 2021. And we need to have this taken care of before 2022 and 2024, because if we don't, we will lose the election. So without further ado, let's bring Mike Collins on. He's going to tell us why he's running, why people should vote for him, and how he sees politics in Georgia. Mike, how is it going?
Going great. I appreciate y'all having me on tonight. And let me start out this way. I have been sitting over here squirming like a cat on a hot tin roof with what your commentary, because you're right. Georgia is in a turmoil right now. We've had elections that many people in Georgia have been questioning. We feel like that when the true votes are counted, Donald Trump won this state. And that there is very little confidence in our election system right now. And we need to have these votes audited. We need to have all, if you ask me, we need to audit every vote in the state of Georgia. That's fine. And if at the end of the day I'm wrong, so be it. Mud will be on my face. I'll be fine with that. But right now, you're exactly right. People don't have confidence in our elections. When they don't have confidence, you don't have much of a society. And that's what we've got to restore now.
So, Mike, tell us, why did you decide to run? Why at this time in your life?
In a nutshell, it was an opportunity to make a difference. And, you know, I've been in business now for over 30 years. And my wife and I, we've been raising our kids and building a successful trucking company. Here in Georgia, and we operate in about 40 states with those trucks. Heavily regulated industry. I like to say it's the most regulated industry that there is. You know, and living on that side of the ledger where you have to really make the right call or people wind up with losing their jobs or you have families affected. And I've not been involved in being in elected office. I've never have been in elected office. 7 years ago when this seat was open, I did run for it. And the current congressman, who is very conservative, we practically tied in the primary, and he beat me by about 4,500 votes in the runoff. And so, you know, I figured that, you know, you always try to do what you think is God's will and not your will. So we came back. I've been running our local party here as the chairman of the Butts County Republican Party for about 7 years. And we actually, our kids are grown now and we've got grandkids. And you're right. I'm 54 years old today. And well, not today, this year. And we had spent the past 2 years probably remodeling our home and setting up to where we felt like our calling was going to be fundraising and helping get good conservative business people or people that we wanted to support in different levels of office. And lo and behold, when you know, the current congressman, he decided that he was going to run for Secretary of State, because I can assure you, Brad Raffensperger, it is going, be it we get him recalled or whether he loses an election, he's going. But the congressman that's in our seat now decided that he was going to run for that. And it took me a while to decide, you know, that we need to get into this race. And as odd as it may sound, I was sitting in church, and I don't even think I remember what the sermon was about. As a matter of fact, I know I don't. And the only thing I remember was O'Benny, when he was preaching, he said, you know, you can get up every day and go make money. You got a chance to do that every day of your life. He said, but you don't always have the opportunity to make a difference. And I thought, Lord help. You know, that's where we're at in our life. I have the opportunity to take the solid conservative Christian values that I have, that I've always been raised on. And I have that opportunity to take that business sense and that common sense to Washington, D.C., and fight to get back this America First agenda. Because I'm telling you that I've been pro-Trump since I was pro-Trump before Trump was even nominated in Cleveland. And the first time I heard Donald Trump was in a house in Atlanta. I had the opportunity to go up there. And I guess there was probably 50, 60 people in there. And he came down, he was standing on the stairs in the foyer. I'll never forget it. And he said probably less than 5 minutes about politics and what he saw going on that day. And he said, you know what, let's just stop. Y'all just ask me questions. And I thought, man, whoever's handling his campaign is probably squirming around back there thinking, oh my God, what's he going to say? But you know, that was the best political event I think I've ever been to. He was genuine. He told you what he thought, not what he thought you wanted him to say. And that sold me right then. When he was talking about lowering taxes, talking about getting these regulations off our backs, talking about securing our borders, talking about these endless wars that we're in with our veterans and then how we bring them home and treat them so bad. It was just, it was a breath of fresh air. So we have this opportunity to run in the 10th district. It's an open seat. We know where we stand in the polls. There was a little difference in between me and the current incumbent. And by God, we're going to win this race this time. And we're going to take those values to Washington. We're going to make a difference. I'm going to fix what's going on up there. What's happened in the past 7 months is ridiculous. And then when I get through, I'll come on back to Georgia and I'll resume what I was doing, which, believe it or not, 7 months ago, I was getting my private pilot's license. We were looking at traveling and getting out and seeing the country once this COVID mess got over with. But that's the reason I'm in it. That's the reason that I know we're going to win it. We got the right person and the right message. And it's the right time.
So, Mike, you had previously met President Trump before he decided to run. And just from listening to your story, when he started to talk, you knew then that this was the man that we needed to get behind and support because of his ideas, lowering taxes, the border, putting America first. So hearing that, you knew then this is the man for the country.
You know, you knew two things. You knew that the person that you saw talking was genuine. You can tell a politician. You know, a lot of them be looking around the room and they'll be thinking about what they think you want to hear or looking to see who else is out there. But this was a conversation with the person. Now, I did not get to meet him personally in a private room or anything, but he was out there in that room. There was probably 50 or 60 of us out there at the most in that house. It was in a house. But it was just a very genuine person who I felt could understand from my small business standpoint of what I have fought for 30 years in business. Because you figure, I started my career in business. I took over our family business when I was 20 years old. And so I didn't have the opportunity to vote for Ronald Reagan. The years I started my career was pretty much George H.W. Bush. So you figure I have been through a Rhino Republican establishment, a Democrat good old boy establishments, establishment Republican. I don't know what you want to call the Obama years. They were tough. And then to hear him say that this is America, and we need to look after Americans, and we need to get lower taxes. We need to have limited federal government. Yes, sir. That was, man, he was singing our song. He was singing my song.
When you're on the ground there in Georgia, what is it that you are hearing from a lot of the voters that you're knocking on the door and whatnot? What do they feel about the election, Brian Kemp and Secretary Brad Roethlisberger? What are the thoughts on the Georgia voters? Do they think that there's no way President Trump could have lost with the amount of support that he has in the state?
There is no doubt about what the number one issue in the state of Georgia is right now. And it's going to remain the number one issue until we get clarity. And that is this election and the election results and the integrity of that election. I work the polls. Small county, you know, but I was at those polls all during the early voting and actually up until December 31st when I decided to bring in a new year with COVID. But you can understand that if you were, and the county I live in is a great county. I mean, we beat the snot out of Joe Biden in our county. But you could see if you wanted to and you were in the right county of how, especially with the absentees, you could just separate that ballot from that envelope, push that ballot on into the ballot box, throw the envelope over there and say, you know what, if anybody ever audits, we'll worry about it to them. Ain't nobody going to say nothing. They didn't figure that the folks of Georgia were going to stand up and say, something stinks here. Something's not right. And that's why you saw very few legislators, but you had some that were standing up and demanding that we have a special session to audit these ballots. And you know, look at what it's taken. The judges back then, they rode the clock out, basically. I know people say, well, the judges didn't hear your case. You had no standing. Well, of course not after they decide to hear the case after the runoff. You know, so it's taken us until I think we'll get a hearing. We should get some sort of feedback off of the judge that's got the case now. I think it's in a week, maybe 10 more days. But election integrity is the number one issue here. And believe it, I've been out speaking all through our district and actually all throughout the state. I was in North Georgia tonight that wasn't in our district, but I think it's important to get out and speak to a lot of different people. I can't tell you how many people I have met that were so mad, and they'll tell you this. They say, you know, I didn't even go vote in the runoff because I knew my vote wasn't going to count. And I'm like, well, my gosh, you didn't even give the Democrats a chance to cheat. But you've got a number of people that didn't go back. And they're not going to go back until we determine that we have got a handle on how people vote in the state of Georgia.
I would agree with you 100% there, because a lot of people, I've heard that from a lot of people, and a lot of our guests have come on and have said pretty much the same thing, that we have got to get a handle on the election. We've got to make certain that the votes that are being cast are the proper votes, and that they're not votes that were made up, votes that were manufactured or created in order to win. So like you said, you know, we're giving the Democrats an opportunity to win if people don't go out and vote. And I know that, you know, it's disconcerting and you get angry, but you have to soldier on. Now, Mike, who is your opponent? Who are you running against?
Right now, we have around 10 people in this race. And we've got a wide variety of folks. Some of them, we've got some that haven't ever even pulled a Republican primary ballot before. So, I mean, it just tells you the gamut that we got going here. We've even got a local House representative that I guess I got some ad a couple of days ago. It's probably going to show, but he is running. He doesn't live in the district. You don't have to. He moved away further from the district, but this guy is going around putting up signs that says Trump won Georgia. Now, I agree with that. Trump did win Georgia, but he was in the House of Representatives and he never took one opportunity to stand up, go out there on those Capitol steps and demand an audit. He never even signed the petition to demand a special session. Not one time. You never heard one iota out of this guy until he decided to run for Congress. And that is evident all across this country. And that's one of the main reasons that I get outside the district to talk to people, because folks, we gotta get involved. We got so many new people coming into these party meetings, and I think that's unbelievably fantastic. We got to channel these folks. We got to get them funneled, and we got to get them educated on what they need to how to get involved. And you need to look at everybody running, and that includes me. I think you need to look at everybody running in every race. I don't care if it's your homeowners association, but you need to look to see who these people are, because I am sick and tired of people going to Washington, D.C., like that Adam Kinzinger, running all on Trump. Man, I'm Trump this, Trump that. When you get up there, just turn coat, and you become some sort of establishment, a rhino, and it's not about limited government, fiscal responsibility. It's all about how do I stay elected and how do I stay in this group and that group. And we don't need that anymore. I honestly believe that the people that you send to Washington, D.C. today, I've been calling this for months now, you better send warriors up there, because they are going to get pummeled. And a lot of us won't make it for very long. I'd say a lot of us get killed off. And this is metaphorically killed off in 2 years or 4 years, because the pressure is going to be so great that the elites, the establishments, rhinos, Democrats, they'll band together and they're going to try to stymie this. They're going to try to kill it off, but we're going to take our country back. We are going to DC. We're going to take our country back. We're going to get our America First agenda back in place. And I'll tell you why, because the 4 years that Donald Trump was our president, the American people felt one thing, and that's the one thing that Donald Trump, President Trump, always said, and that's something called winning. And they're missing that. Everybody I talked to, they knew what it felt like. They knew what it felt like to make an honest, good living, to go buy a new vehicle, to go on vacation, to go out to eat, to enjoy life. I mean, you figure, man, after 8 years of Obama, of getting just beat the snot beat out of him, we were, and the whole time Trump was in office, they practically held his head underwater, trying to drown him and kill him. And still look at what he was able to accomplish. And that's why I say, people that go up there, you better be willing to lay it all on the line. You better be willing to leave it all behind, because it's going to take it, because they're going to try to do the same thing to us. But we're going to put enough people up there with that Freedom Caucus, and we're fixing to make some changes.
And see, that's the mentality that we need. We need that mentality. People who are willing and ready to get out there and fight, and they are aware of the challenges that they're going to have, but yet and still, they want to get out there and fight. And we don't hear that. I'm glad you're bringing that to the show. Others have done the same. But you do have some folks that are planning on running, and the only reason why they're running is for name recognition. The only reason why they're running is for pure politics. They want to make a career out of it. They're not planning on going in with ideas that will help the country. They're not planning on going in with the concept of make America great again. They will go in, test the waters, and they'll move in the direction that they think they should go, as opposed to standing up for the beliefs of make America great again. And I think back at Marjorie Taylor Greene. You look at her. I mean, we knew the kind of candidate she was before she stepped onto the stage. Once she was elected, she was the same candidate. A lot of people don't like her, but she's still going full steam ahead. And that's what we need. Like you said, that there are people that are planning on running that have probably never voted for a Republican, but yet and still they're there. They're running. They never once said, we need to challenge this election. We need to look at this. Our state constitution gives us the right to do it, but they're afraid to do anything. They're afraid because they might get a backlash. They're afraid because the media might attack them. Well, let the media attack you. You have to stand for something. As Andrew always says at the end of every show, or fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or fall for nothing. Stand up for your beliefs. Show the voters that you are a fighter. And everything that you just said, Mike, is what people are missing when they say that they're going to run. They let Trump down. They let him sit up there and take all the shots, as opposed to standing up and being strong candidates. That's how the Democrats are able to win, because we falter. You look at this crazy, ridiculous infrastructure bill that they're getting ready to put together. And we'll talk about this in our second segment, but just a little teaser, it should be a no-go. We're giving the Democrats too much. And what for, Mitch McConnell? Well, you know, we look at the back end, we've got to start somewhere. What do you mean start somewhere? Do you think they would meet you halfway? Absolutely not. You got to stand by your convictions, stand by your principles, and say, no, we don't want this. It's too much. Look at AOC. She's saying, well, I'm not going to sign off on it. And she's a Democrat. She doesn't like it. Well, she doesn't like it because she wants more things in it. That's going to help her side of the aisle. But Republicans have got to get a backbone and start standing up. Stop trying to explain the stuff away. Because it reminds me earlier on when Trump first took office and he was trying to put together a budget deal and he wanted money for the border wall. And what did General Mattis say? General Mattis called him on the phone and said, well, Mr. President, we really need money for the military. We need to pay these guys. And President Trump acquiesced and said, let's pay these guys because I'm down with the soldiers. Little did he know that that was a plan by General Mattis, because he never intended on giving him back that money to fund the border wall. And you have people like that, rhinos, that are doing the exact same thing now. So we need to be able to weed out those individuals who claim to be running to support the cause, but in actuality, Mike, they are not there to support the cause. They will roll over each and every time because they want to make friends with the Democrats. They want to reach across the aisle. Okay, I'm all for reaching across the aisle. But when you reach across, make certain that you're reaching across with your principles, with your values, and with the theme, Make America Great Again.
Yeah, and I like that Mike name dropped Adam Kinzinger. Liz Cheney's another one. Jamie Herrera Butler, who's running up against Joe Kent, who we also had on our show earlier this year, is another rhino that voted to impeach President Trump. As Mike said, we are so sick of people that go to D.C. running on being pro-Trump, and then when they get there, it's another thing. You are listening to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more from congressional candidate Mike Collins.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors. All carry a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
And we are back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew with our guest, Mike Collins, who's running for U.S. Representative for the state of Georgia 10th District. When we went on break, Mike was just telling us the kind of candidate that he's going to be and the kind of candidate that we need in the House representing Georgia and just representing Republicans as a whole. Because as we see now, a lot of Republicans, They're saying they're Republicans, but in actuality, they're rhinos. And I hate putting this out there all the time, but you guys know how I feel about it. I have said a dozen times that we have too many Republicans who aren't true Republicans. But you don't have Democrats who claim to be Democrats, but they're actually Republicans. And those who are, they eventually switch over. Look at what happened in New Jersey. We had a Democrat who switched over and became a Republican. Now, I know a lot of people say that Joe Manchin is actually a moderate Republican and he should just, you know, move over. Well, let's let him stay where he is. I mean, if he votes with the Republicans, that's fine. Because when you start trying to coax them over and they move over, they'll flip the script on you. And then you'll see that they're actually Democrats. So we'll keep an eye on him and Kristen Sinema to see just exactly who they are. Right now, they seem to have a backbone, which is more than what I could say for Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger. Without a doubt, they are Democrats. The way they performed, they should go ahead and caucus with them. And if Kevin McCarthy had any gumption behind him, he would just tell them, why don't you guys just change parties? We don't need you here because you're not going to help our cause. I hope they're primaried. I hope the people that are running against them win the elections because we don't need them. And what will happen? Adam will probably go to fake news CNN or PMS MSNBC, as well as Liz Cheney. She will become a commentator, highly paid commentator, you know, and speak out against the Republican Party. As Ronald Reagan said once, thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. But with these two characters, it doesn't matter because they have an agenda. And their agenda is to be straddle the fence, to make as much money as they can fundraising off of them being in opposition against the GOP, against the party. So, Mike, as I said, Mike was talking to us about that. Now, something else that I want to cover is, as I was saying earlier, Stacey Abrams, and I was trying to think of the what she's doing to raise money, and she's creating all these little LLCs, charities, and non-for-profits to raise money for herself, claiming that she's trying to help increase the vote or change this or change that. But when you really look at it and you look deeply into it, and those individuals who know banking, they know that she's creating these entities to pay herself to make money. If you look at her bank account, she's probably worth a lot of money. Now, I do know that she has some tax problems, but this is what Democrats do. They create these entities, LLCs, not-for-profits, and then they pay themselves. Handsome, look at Van Jones. He was just granted almost like he was given $100 million by Jeff Bezos. Now, I'm sure that was to make Jeff Bezos look good within the Black community so that they don't go protesting against Amazon. But these Democrats know how to take care of their own with all this money that they have. Money, I call it money laundering, paying off people to keep quiet and support them. Republicans have got to wake up and start supporting each other. I am not saying do it the same way that the Democrats are doing it, because what Democrats are doing, in my opinion, is illegal. What Stacey Abrams is doing is illegal, and it will eventually catch up with her. But we need Republicans to put some stake, need to get some skin in the game and run candidates that they believe in that will push our agenda across. Now, Mike, what are your thoughts on Stacey Abrams, and why is it the governor of Georgia seems to be afraid of her? He beat her in the election fair and square, although she's never conceded, and Democrats are okay with that. But why is he so afraid of this woman?
Well, I don't know if he's afraid of her or not. I think that she has wielded a lot of power in different areas. You're exactly right. She's been setting up nonprofits and small LLCs or whatever you want to call them to sign up the votes. But, you know, she's also head of the board that has a company that is actually in charge of some of the elections and some of these counties that are in play that we're looking at. And she's directly involved with that. So, you know, she's not, you know, on the up and up with what she does. But we can beat the Democrats. This state is not purple, it's not blue, it's red. It is solid red. What we have to do is make sure that the elections are fair. And Stacey Abrams or no Stacey Abrams, we've got to make sure that our elections are safe and fair and secure. And we've taken some steps to do that. I don't think they've gone quite far enough, but the, you know, these mobile voting bands, whatever they had running around, and these drop boxes that we had all over the place where you could just ballot harvest and drop ballots in there. You know, getting rid of a lot of that's going to be a help. And no excuse absentee ballots and not making IDs required for absentee ballots. We could go an extra step and fix that. We need to do that. But I'm not scared of Stacey Abrams himself. I'm not worried about her. But what I am worried about is just making sure that we have the elections to where people are confident again and they'll go vote. You know, and the other thing that you were talking about, this ain't Stacey Abrams, but you talk about these folks that are going up there and enriching themselves and profiting and making their way to CNN or the other shows. That just begs for why we don't have term limits. You know, Congress was set up to go and serve. Leave your position and your business, put it to the side, and go serve your country in the capacity that you think you can. And in this case, you think you can serve it in Congress. You go and serve, and then you come back home. But these people are up there as a career to enrich their lives, and that's how they got to make a livelihood. You take, for instance, in the race I'm running in, we've got a 32-year-old guy, single guy, never been married, 32 years old, went to Yale and Harvard. Now, we are a rural district down here, and we Georgia Bulldogs as far as you can see. But he went to Yale and Harvard, grew up in the north side of Atlanta, you know, the Buckhead area. Now, he's going to run in this district. Now, the only thing he's done is he was in the staff of the White House. Now, you tell me what he's really looking at. He's looking to go up there for a career. He's not looking to go up there and serve. He doesn't have any experience, really.
And that's the problem.
Except his Yale and his Harvard.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a guy that is going to go up there, and the first thing he's going to, what's the first vote he's going to take? Speaker of the House. Now, who you think is going to go over there and get him to vote the way that, I've already committed. I'm not voting for McCarthy. Maybe a great guy. But we need new people, new blood. It's time to change directions. But somebody like that, he's going for a career. Now, he's got to think about that. That's the first vote he's going. Now, he's got, man, am I going to get on the right committee? Or am I going to get no committee? Now, Mike Collins, I don't care if they don't put me on a committee. Because you know what? I make a heck of a teammate for Marjorie Taylor Greene. She doesn't have a committee. And look at her. Well, she is changing things. She is changing stuff.
She is. She is.
I'm not worried about that.
Yep. She's on fire.
She is on fire.
And that's what I like. And something that you just said is so key. Kevin McCarthy, he is looking at being the Speaker of the House. So he's definitely more than likely going to support candidates that will give him that vote. What are you going to do, McCarthy, as Speaker of the House? Absolutely nothing, but just have it in name only, sit behind the president, and do absolutely nothing. You have not shown that you can support your members. Look at what you let happen to Marjorie Taylor Greene. They kicked her off her committees. You could have kept her there, but you rolled over. He's threatened to remove Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, but they're still in their committees. Why threaten them? Just do it, by God. Show the folks that you mean what you said. But he won't do it. He's just there. And that's what I don't like. I'm like, they should not. I hope there's someone behind the scene that's saying, let him do what he's doing right now. Let him think he's going to get it. But we're not going to give it to him. He does not deserve that position. If they're able to win in 2022, they should not give it to him. We need someone with fire. We need someone who could fight. We need someone who could rally the troops. Because we had that when President Trump was the president. A lot of things that happened would not have happened. We need a strong fighter. We need someone who has fire in the belly. McCarthy, he looks the part. And he's proper, he's this, but he's weak. I don't see a strong bone in him at all. He is weak, completely weak, Mike. So I'm with you right there. I would not support him as Speaker of the House. because he has not shown me anything.
You take a look at Trump's first 2 years. Now, Trump was getting pummeled with this Russia thing. And we had an opportunity to take Obamacare out right then. But you had a lot of them up there, Republicans, that wouldn't say a word because they were scared. Man, they're going to get Trump. Just think what they do to me. Just think of what will happen to me if they can take the president out. Now, you fast forward. I mean, we saw what happened. And that Obamacare is one of the worst nightmares for business that there was, not to mention the rural America. Man, you talking about closing down hospitals? That's a total different story. But that Obamacare just ruined healthcare. But you fast forward to where are our representatives? Why? You've got a handful of them. I saw them last week. Where are they? How come they're not out there on those Capitol steps demanding that those folks from January 6th, that they don't get their day in court? And they ought to be standing out there saying that their constitutional rights are being pummeled on, and they need to have their day in court. Where are they? Why are they not standing up? Because they don't want to rock the boat.
They don't want to rock the boat. And something else that you just pointed out, which is a valid point, is you look at the Obamacare. Republicans know that it stinks. Right now, they should be behind the scenes trying to put together another plan. But what they'll do is they'll wait until 2022. And should they get the House and the Senate, then they'll bring up, oh, let's get rid of Obamacare. But what are you going to put in its place? If you have the votes, you should be working on something now. You don't say you're going to do it and you have nothing to put in its place. I mean, I don't understand it. They had the perfect opportunity to get rid of it when Trump was in power, but they didn't have anything to put in his place. So they just sat there, you can't do that, folks. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, 30 years ago when I started in business, you know what the least thing on my mind was my group insurance renewal. And I don't mean that because I didn't care about people's group insurance. We had great group insurance. It was just a small portion of my expense. Our insurance was great. Now, you fast forward all the way to when Obamacare came in and Obama got in there, and all of a sudden we had the same small amount of people that didn't have any insurance, and they were all getting taken care of. Can't really say that, but they were going to the emergency room. They didn't really want insurance, most of them. Now, you look at how they have destroyed this industry, and now that is one of the top expenses of anybody's business. It's to the point where you almost can't afford it. And if you ask me, well, what would you do, Mikey? What would you do? If nothing else, I'd go back to what I had. Turn the clock back 20 years. It was fine. But we got to try to fix this when we really didn't have to fix it. You know, it was just another grab. There has been a systematic grab for eight years of Obama to where people have a dependency on government and everything, right up to this mask mandate. And we have gotten to the point where, you know, we took a whole year where you couldn't go anywhere except Walmart. You know, you can go to the big box stores, but by gosh, don't you show up at church. And it's all focused on getting you to depend 100% on government for everything you need. And individual responsibility is out the window.
Right.
And that's no different with this healthcare.
It is completely. Now, Mike, since our conversation, you've made many references to Christians and your faith. So that brings the next question here topic that I want to discuss, and that's just Christianity as a whole and how the left, to them, if you bring it up, it's like kryptonite or like garlic to a vampire. They become enraged. They don't want to hear it. They don't want you to bring it up. They don't want you to mention your faith. But when it comes to other religions, like Islam, they celebrate it. They don't want you to talk about it. But Christianity, oh my God, don't mention it. And to me, that is one of the reasons why this country is falling down. It's morally bankrupt. We just become a bankrupt society, morally, spiritually.
It has. We are morally bankrupt. You know, when they took prayer out of schools, it was just another step in teaching children that our rights are given to us by government, that everything you need is right up there in Washington, D.C. And the Judeo-Christian values are what this country, it's what makes this country great. Those are our God-given rights. They're not given to us by the government. They were given to us by God. And that's what really roils the left and the left-wing lunatics, is they can't fathom that, because they can't control that. You know, since I was a little kid, I've been told that you can have God without government, but you can't have government without God. Now, that's a simple little statement. But if you sit there and you think about it for a minute, oh man, how true that is.
That is, it's really true. And we see now that these folks on the left, they don't want either. They don't want us to mention it. They just want to completely eradicate it out of our lives. And I look at our small kids and what they're trying to teach our kids in the schools. CRT, critical race theory, teaching segregation again. One group is bad, the other group is good. One group is constantly oppressed, the other group isn't. And how they're not fair. And I sit back and I look at this, I'm like, do they really want our children to grow up in a country hating each other? And another group depressed because they feel as if though they're the oppressor. Like, where we've lost focus.
Well, we've lost focus, and the socialists have really found something that they can hit on. I mean, you take Joe Biden. Joe Biden's has lost his last years of Easter egg. He's not doing anything. There's other people that are handling this thing. And their whole ruse is to pit one against another and then make everybody at some point to where the government will be the end-all be-all for everything. And whether it's erasing history, which you technically can't do, but they're going to try. And now they're going to say that Americans are racist. And then at the end of the day, they're going to be standing there saying, well, look, you just rely on us. We got you. We're going to take care of you. And I'm telling you, that's not going to happen on my watch. If I'm the last person standing, it won't happen.
And we need more people like you who would say the same thing and actually believe it and do something about it. Because you look at what's happening in Cuba and the Biden administration, they're turning their back. They don't want the Cubans here because they're fearful that if the Cubans come, they will vote conservative because they know how bad socialism and communism is. So what do? They want the people at the border. And look at our border, just inundated. And the sad thing about it is that we probably have a million, if not more, illegal aliens here in this country walking around, super spreaders, COVID-19. They're not being forced to take the vaccine, but Americans are. But you have all these people coming from the border, from everywhere, not just Mexico. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from Iraq. They're coming from Iran, stealing across the border. We're letting them in. We're losing track of them. And then when it's time for the census, the Democrats will try to get them all counted in on the census. So if we are successful in taking over the Senate and the House in 2022, I would employ the party to steamroll them on the census and say, no, it's going to be this way or the highway. We're not giving you any concessions because we know what you're trying to do. You want to be able to count these illegals so that you can do a little gerrymandering, so that the voting rolls are set up for you. We can't allow that to happen. We need to know who's in our country and why they're in our country. But from looking at the border, all of these millions of illegals dispersed across the country?
We do. And the ones that are going over and coming over here and sitting down, you got to count on them until you throw them out in the country and let them go. But just think of how many criminals are coming across, you know, that are evading and coming into our society. You know, that's the ones that you got to be fearful of, besides of what the Democrats are trying to do. And that's create another class of voters for them. But I'll tell you this, and I firmly believe this, and I've seen this because I've been out there speaking, and I speak to a lot of people. If you think that the Tea Party movement of 2010 was something, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. There is a tidal wave. There is a swell coming of people that are going to vote in this midterm election, and we are going to take the House, and we're going to take the Senate back. And that leads me right back to the same thing I said when I started this conversation. You better study who is running for every position, and you better pick out the best warrior you can find. The one that's got the toughest backbone, that is going to stand up for the people of this country so that we can take our country back. That's the people you can send to Washington. And you do that, we'll have enough people up there, and I'll have enough company, and we can make the right changes. And by God, we'll get this country back on track. And when we do that, then Mike Collins can come back to Georgia, and we'll send somebody else up there. In about 6 years is about what I figure. And I signed the term limits pledge, and I signed the budget amendment pledge. But, you know, look how long that stuff's been going on. You know, you've had people for 10, 15 years. Oh, I'll sign that. I'll sign. But I'm telling you what I'm looking to do, and I'm telling you what I'm seeing out there. And, folks, this thing is real. There's a movement. Donald Trump started a huge movement, and this thing is growing to a big swell with a huge finish coming up. And I encourage you to be excited. I encourage you to get involved. And I encourage you to help out the right people, because even in my little race down here in rural Georgia, we got some folks, and I'm going to kick them out one way or another. But we got some folks that don't need to go up there. And it's a great opportunity to send some good, solid people up there and make a difference.
Solid red people that know what they're doing. That's and it. Are committed to the cause. And like you said, you need to study. Too many people look and they, oh, I'm going to go buy this. They look good. No, you need to study the issue. Study that person. Make certain that that person is standing by his word. Make certain that they're not there just to create a professional just going up there and making a career out of it. We don't need career professionals on the Hill. We need people who are going to go there and work for the people. That is the reason why we need term limits, because there are too many people who go there. They sit there and do absolutely nothing. And we don't need that. I go back to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, she knows that what she's doing, people could get mad and turn on her and say, we're not going to send her back. But she is committed to the cause and she's fighting. Jim Jordan, look at Jim Jordan. They want to take him out. All these people that they want to take out, the people that they want to take out, those are the people that you want to keep up there. And the people that they praise, like Kevin McCarthy, like Mitch McConnell. I'm sorry, Mitch, you know, yeah, you sit there and you make these faces like you're going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but you're weak. You need to come out. We need new blood. We need people who have their fingertips on the pulse of America, their fingertips on the pulse of the party, and they know what the party wants. And they know the direction of the party. And if the party is saying it is Donald Trump, then you get behind Donald Trump 100%. Don't do it halfway. There are a lot of folks that are up there that they claim to be for Donald Trump because they only want to fundraise off of his name. But when it really counts, that's when they falter by the wayside. That's when they start saying, oh, I don't know about that Donald Trump. Mike Gates, he's another one. Down with the cause, fighting hard. Louis Gohmert, love that guy. Down with the cause, fighting for the cause. We need more people like them on the Hill up there, fighting for the people. as opposed to these individuals like Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, and I bring their names up constantly because I want our listeners to go and do their research. And then you have to raise money. Every little bit helps. Send money to their opponents to get them out. Because right now, Liz and Adam, they're raising a whole lot of money off of people being against them. And of course, you probably have Democrats that are sending them money because they're thinking, oh, they think like us. So let's send them money. We need Liz out. We need to send her a message, a powerful message to both she and Adam. Get out. We don't want you there. We want people that are going to fight like you, Mike, up on the Hill in Congress.
That's it. And I appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to win this race down here in the 10th District. And I look forward to serving not just people in the 10th District in the state of Georgia, but this country, because it's worth it. I've had a great opportunity and been able to do a lot of things. And I know what it feels like to win. And we're going to make sure that we get this country back on track to where folks have that opportunity to go out and create what their version of the American dream is. We don't do something now, we are going to be in a world of hurt. And so I look forward to going up there. If they want to learn more about who I am, they can go to MikeCollinsGA.com. All our information's on there. They can even ask us questions. They can chat with us. We'd be glad to answer questions. I'd love to see them get involved. If you're in the 10th district, I'd love to have your vote. I'd love to have your support because I definitely want to be your congressman. But we've got a lot of opportunity coming up, and I'm telling you that it's going to be a good day. Midterm elections are going to be good.
Thank you, Mike Collins, for joining us. You can visit his website, MikeCollinsGA.com. Please check him out and donate to his campaign if you can. We appreciate everyone listening. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. If you don't like taking pills, Healthy Cell is perfect because it's in gel form and it tastes great. Go to healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. Thank you, Healthy Cell, for helping support conservative media. And thank you all for joining us tonight on another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com for countless hours of content. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.